The debate over compensating volunteer firefighters is very much an active one this week, but the cost of that task isn't just a financial one. A lot of the people on the front lines this fire season will emerge from the ordeal with post-traumatic stress disorder. A leading trauma expert is calling for a national compensation scheme for injured volunteers and their families. Meghna Bali reports.
On the days the New South Wales Rural Fire Service declares a total fire ban, Kathleen McCann's body goes into overdrive.
It's over 30 degrees. There are strong winds forecast. And I'm just thinking, please, God, don't some dickhead throw a cigarette out the window. May all the power lines stay up. May all the trees stay up. You know, like it's like we're just on edge waiting for the call to come in. So what happens for me is my whole adrenal system is like on guard.
She's been a volunteer firefighter for 15 years, but it's only in the last year that she's started to notice these symptoms, triggered by memories of the Tathra bushfire on the far south coast of New South Wales in March 2018.
I couldn't breathe because of the smoke. The ember attack was incredible. And instead of getting in the truck, as we would normally do in an incident like that, we could see houses were starting to catch alight. So we just started putting out houses. So I just pushed down my fear. I can't breathe. Oh, my God. To, okay, let's get on with the job. And that's what we did for the next 6 hours. You could just hear gas bottles going off like bombs.
According to Sandy McFarlane, the director of Adelaide University's Centre for Traumatic Stress Studies, volunteers in regional communities are particularly susceptible to the traumatic side effects of bushfires.
Now, when they're as prolonged as this, I think that poses an incredible risk and challenge to these people because there's very little respite. If you're a metropolitan firefighter, you can go and fight the fire, you come off shift and go home. It's done and dusted. But these fires are burning for days and weeks, and there is a terrible exhaustion for people here. The devastation to individuals who have joined a fire brigade to protect their community and then have to face their own homes being burnt down. And I think the mental health into the future of these volunteer firefighters should be a major priority.
Kathleen McCann says fireys aren't the only people suffering.
I worry more for the community because they basically do have some mental health programs that are available, but then there's not enough encouragement to say, look, if you're feeling like you're not coping, please come in and we will help you. I don't think there's enough commitment. The hard thing with rural communities is it's harder to find a mental health program.
She says she feels supported by the RFS, but wants the state and federal governments to step up.
I am disgusted with this federal government, absolutely furious at the inaction and it's like inane verbal diarrhea that is spouting from so many of our politicians, and it means absolutely nothing. If the fires are going to keep happening, none of us are able to do this without self-funding ourselves to do it. Help in some financial way for the volunteers would be fantastic.
Just this week, the federal government announced it'd give Commonwealth employees who are fighting the fires 4 weeks of paid leave. But for Sandy McFarlane, the current mental health response is a key concern.
In the past, they've had very simplistic ideas about the way you deal with this. There's been this idea that if you give people counselling in the immediate aftermath of these events, somehow that mitigates the risk to individuals. The evidence is that sort of intervention basically has no impact. And if anything, it's detrimental. The fascinating thing is that these organisations fail to stop doing that. You need to follow people's health over a period of time because often people don't become unwell in the immediate aftermath. It's months, years later.
He also takes issue with the government's characterisation of the current fire season as unprecedented.
People's imaginations don't prepare them for the ferocity of fires and how you have to behave in the middle of them. If you say it's unprecedented, you actually don't hold yourself in the space where you have to contemplate it happening. The failure to learn lessons is something that people should be held accountable for. That's one of the key principles of litigation is foreseeability. If there's a foreseeable risk and people haven't taken steps to protect against that risk, that's you know, I think negligent.
He's also calling for a national compensation scheme for injured volunteers or the families of those who've died on the job. He says state governments have progressively tried to absolve themselves of long-term compensation by quashing claims in court. Meanwhile, the cool change this week has allowed fireys and residents to take stock of the damage across New South Wales before the hot weather picks up early next week. So far this fire season, almost 1,000 homes have been destroyed in New South Wales alone. Millions of hectares have been lost and around 70 fires continue to burn across the state.
Meghna Bali reporting, and PM has contacted the New South Wales government for comment.